Thank you, Yajna Purusha Prabhu. Thank you, Dayanandaji Prabhu, for allowing me to be in your service in this very holy place. Yajna Purusha Prabhu has ordered me to speak on the subject of Lord Sri Krishna's Damodar Leela this evening. And as his guest and his obedient servant, it is proper etiquette to at least make some effort to fulfill his wish with your permission. I'm very grateful to see all of you this evening. It is truly a pleasure and fortune to be here. Haribo, you just came from India. Very happy to see you. Speaking of coming from India, when Srila Prabhupada was on Jaladuta, the MV Jaladuta, for about 5 days during that journey, he could write nothing in his diary. There was only a squiggling line that came down the pages. It was at that time that he endured a massive heart attack on a cargo ship in the middle of the Arabian Sea. He was only hardly 12 days in his journey, and it was a 35-day journey. Shortly after that, he wrote a beautiful passage. Expressing how he was feeling such very, very deep separation from Sri Vrindavan Dham. In the middle of the sea on this boat, he said, "I am so very, very far from Vrindavan. And I'm feeling very great separation from my lords, Sri Govinda, Gopinath, and Sri Radha Damodar. But I am on this mission in the service of the order of my spiritual master, according to Lord Chaitanya's desire. Depending on their mercy, so far, far away from Vrindavan." Srila Prabhupada lived for approximately 6 years at Sri Radha Damodara Temple, which is in the Seva Kunj area of Sri Vrindavan, where Lord Krishna and Sri Radharani's topmost spiritual pastimes are eternally taking place. Prabhupada, being an eternal resident of Vrindavan, was expressing, not to us, but to Krishna, in his own personal writing, the deep separation he was feeling from Sri Radha Damodar. Why, at the age of 70, did he travel so far from home? And what was he coming to? He boarded the MV Jaladuta on Friday the 13th of August 1965. Only 5 very unknown people were there: Bhagavanti, the Darwin of Skindia Rail steamship line, a Mr. Ali, a Mr. Sain Gupta, and his little son Vrindavan. It wasn't a very prestigious send-off. It was very simple. Because factually nobody thought he had a chance of succeeding or maybe even surviving such a venture. But Prabhupada had complete faith. Complete faith in the power of the order of his spiritual master to take the message of Lord Chaitanya to the world, and the power of the holy name of Krishna to help him overcome all obstacles. He didn't even know if anyone would be there in New York waiting for him. He had no money. Srila Prabhupada came off the boat, looked to the left, looked to the right, there was no one around, and just started walking. And he later told the devotees, because I knew I had my box of books in the cargo, that my mission was stable. All his luggage he held in his hand. He had one very small suitcase, an umbrella, and a little bag of cereal. Why did he carry cereal? Because he didn't know if there would be anything edible in America. So this was the humble beginning. And after almost a year of great struggle and no apparent success, Srila Prabhupada began his mission here at 26 Second Avenue. It really wasn't much of a mission. He started the International Society for Krishna Consciousness before he even had any followers. People were wondering, what kind of international society is this? They were just some favorable people who were just willing to help. And they were... Haribo, that was Prabhupada's enthusiasm. And while he was here, he was feeling great separation from Radha Damodar. So now we will speak something about Lord Damodar as a service to Srila Prabhupada and all of the Vaishnavas. Srila Prabhupada taught us the science of the highest truths. If we want to understand Krishna, we must understand Bhagavad Gita as it is. I often tell a story when I was traveling and preaching in America. I went to one institution and attending my lecture was a PhD professor in Indology. He was a Sanskrit scholar. And he, after the lecture in the parking lot, he was with his wife. He said, Why do you worship Krishna of all the gods? I did my PhD dissertation on the Gita Govinda by Jayadev Goswami. And of all the gods, why Krishna? I know very much authoritatively of how he's in the bushes with gopis and what he's doing. Why Krishna? And I asked him, have you studied Bhagavad Gita? Dehino smin yatha dehe, that's where it begins. You first must understand you're not this body. Then you have to understand the science of the soul and the science of the science of God. When you thoroughly can comprehend the nature of the absolute truth, then you could begin to understand Krishna's pastimes. You're studying PhD material when you haven't even gone to kindergarten, sir. Krishna's pastimes with gopis is the highest expression of pure, unconditional spiritual love on the platform of the eternal spiritual nature. It has nothing to do with the dualities and the moralities of this world. So he told me that his wife actually pulled him away and said that breakfast is waiting, come. So, like that. So it is a fact that the science of Krishna consciousness must be understood through the realizations of the great acharyas. Tadvijnanartham sugurum evam abhigacchet. To try to understand Vedic literatures by our own sensory perceptions or our own intellectual capacities will confuse us. Therefore, we must understand the science from the proper spiritual teacher who has been trained by proper spiritual teacher, evam parampara prabdham. When Srila Prabhupada came and taught devotees about the beautiful pastimes of Krishna, devotees understood who is Krishna, and they surrendered their lives, striving to give up all unethical, immoral activities and living by the highest spiritual principles. So the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna appears in Nanda Gokul, Mahavan of Braj Bhumi, and he reveals his supreme opulence of the all-powerful Lord from the very first days of his appearance. Actually, when he appeared in Mathura, he appeared in a beautiful four-arm form, dressed in his Vaikuntha attire. And then on the request of Devaki, he assumed the form of a very, very charming, innocent baby. When he was hardly days old, the Rakshashi, Putana, this was not an ordinary Mataji. She was 12 miles long. And she had mystic supernatural powers. You'll never see anybody like that in the alleys of Manhattan. And she used to live by eating the flesh and drinking the blood of humans, especially babies. She disguised herself as a very beautiful lady. She had mystic powers. Today, if someone can show some mystic powers, they're worshipped as God. Can you imagine how people would worship Putana as God? She could change her form any way she likes. But Krishna just innocently just entered into her arms and sucked on her breast, which was coated with deadly poison. And he not only drank the poison, but he drank out her milk and then her life. And Putana resumed her original 12-mile form, running into the pastures, said, "Child, leave me, leave me." She, with all of her powers, all of her strength, trying to push Krishna off, and Krishna just... And ultimately, she fell to the ground and created like an earthquake. And he was only about a day or two old. That is God. Prabhupada said, God doesn't become God. God is God. Either you're God or you're not God. And if you're God, then show your supreme opulences now. If you can't, then accept. You're eternally subordinate, eternal servant, part and parcel. So Krishna, right from the onset, displayed his supreme power. And when he was only about 3 months old, there's a ceremony where your first little baby starts getting off its back and slanting itself as if it's getting up. And there's a big festival that they celebrate for that. This is the love of the parents in the Vedic culture. Every stage of development of the child, they have a festival to celebrate, to induce auspiciousness. What a culture. Brahmins are chanting mantras, and the father and mother are giving in charity so that blessings come upon their child, and there's music and there's dancing. And Yashoda Mai, during this whole affair, she put Krishna down under a little cart. But within the cart was a ghost named Sakatasura, who was a horrible, powerful demon. And little baby Gopal, hardly 3 months old, just kicked his lotus foot against that cart. Just crashed down. All the pots fell from it. The demon died. Nobody could understand how this had happened. About the time of his first birthday, there was a nice celebration. And during it, Krishna was in the arms of Yashoda. And he appeared to be as heavy as a mountain to Mother Yashoda. So she put him down, and she had to take care of the guests. And at that opportune moment, Trinavarta, he was a friend of Kamsa. Of course, they weren't really friends. They were associates exploiting one another for their own purposes. Trinavarta attacked in the form of a whirlwind. Now, just recently there was a hurricane and around North Carolina, South Carolina. What was the name of that hurricane? Isabel. Hurricane Isabel. The whole American government, the wealthiest, most powerful economy in the world, the most powerful military in the world, the most powerful weapons in the world. Why didn't they just go out and fight against Isabel? Why didn't they get some UN permission to attack Isabel? You're helpless against the hurricane. All you could do is just tell everyone get out of there. Just evacuate. A few years ago, there was a hurricane. This one was a man. And it was coming close to Cape Kennedy, or Cape Canaveral, as we used to know it. Where all these rocket ships and all this very powerful, the NATO station was coming toward the NATO. It's one of these stations that NASA, right? NASA headquarters. And with all their rockets and all their scientific, they just deserted the place and left everything behind, just praying to God that this hurricane did not destroy it. So that's the power of a hurricane. And these are just Kali Yuga hurricanes. Can you imagine the power of Trinavarta? He came into Braj Bhumi and just made everything dark and picked up Krishna and brought him way, way, way higher and higher. Krishna made himself lighter than a feather for the pleasure of Trinavarta. He just picked him right up, and Krishna was so light. And he went higher and higher and higher. And as he went higher, Krishna got heavier and heavier until he was like as heavy as a universe, practically, like a giant mountain. And Trinavarta was just struggling and straining, and just that he wanted to push Krishna off. And little baby Gopal, who was hardly 1 year old. How old are you?
Seven.
Can you stand up for a second? She's 7 years old. What is your name?
Ayani.
Krishna was only one. When Trinavarta brought her way, way up in the sky, you can sit down if you like, Ayani. He was trying to, with all of his rakshashi supernatural powers, trying to push Krishna off, and Gopal was just holding onto his neck and squeezing him and choking him. And his eyeballs started popping out, and he started suffocating, and he just fell to the ground and dislocated everywhere. Shri Bhagavan Gopal Ki Jai. So that is Krishna. But Krishna is bhakta-vatsala. He is always eager to reciprocate with the love of his devotees. And in Vrindavan, the sweetest, most satisfying pastimes of love are enacted. Little Gopal, with his brother Balaram, began to crawl. Such a wonderful thought. Only those who are blessed by God can comprehend such a transcendental, inconceivable principle. Krishna says in Gita, I'm the ability in man. I'm the strength of the strong. I'm the intelligence of the intelligence. I'm the source of all that exists. And here he's learning to crawl, just to charm the hearts of his devotees. And Balaram and Krishna, how they crawled. Sukadev Goswami explains they crawled just like two little snakes, dragging their bodies through the mud mixed with the urine and cow dung of the cows. And how beautiful their bodies appeared when they would just be crawling through the urine and dung of the cows. And their parents would pick them up and bathe them. Sometimes Krishna Balaram would see two gopis, and they would think that this is Rohini Devi and Yashoda Devi. They'd start crawling fast as they can to their mothers. They'd crawl, crawl, crawl. And then the gopis would turn around and say, oh, and they'd see they're not their mothers, and they'd be in so much fear. They'd just turn around and crawl, 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 right back to Yashoda and Rohini, who picked them up, put them on their lap, and fed them their milk. And when they saw that they were drinking the milk very nicely, then they believed that they're now out of danger. Sometimes they would grab onto the tail of calf, Haribo, and the calf would become frightened and start running, and they'd hold on, and the calves would drag them through the dung, the urine, and the dust of Braj. And the gopis would be laughing and smiling and bring them back to Yashoda, and Yashoda Mai and Rohini Mai would bathe them and feed them their milk. So many beautiful pastimes. And Krishna was trying to learn to walk. Nanda Maharaj would walk and Krishna would hold on to his little finger. Just holding on, holding on. And then Nanda Maharaj would lift it and little Gopal would start rocking, rocking and fall to the ground. And then he'd try again to walk. Yashoda and Rohini, they would feed Krishna and Balaram their milk. And when they would open their mouths, they would see little tiny white teeth just growing in. Oh, how much happiness that caused them. In great bliss, they would count the teeth of their little children. Soon, Krishna Balaram learned to walk. And as soon as their walking took place, they began their pastimes of stealing butter. It is explained how one time Lord Sri Krishna was in the house of Yashoda and Nanda, and he saw a pot filled with freshly churned butter. And he stuck his hand in that clay pot and started eating the butter. But just beside him, he noticed his own reflection on a bejeweled pillar. Within the jewels, his own image was reflecting. So Krishna thought that it was somebody watching him. And in great concern, he began to talk to his reflection. He said, my dear friend, please do not tell my mother that I'm stealing her butter. I promise you, if you do not tell on me, I will share this butter with you. And it's very sweet butter. Now, while he's speaking to his reflection, Yashodamai is watching the whole thing. And she came into the room. As she entered the room, Lord Krishna, he became very, very nervous. There's butter all over his mouth, all over his hands. It's dripping on the floor. And Gopal says to Yashoda, I didn't steal the butter. I didn't steal the butter. And he pointed to the reflection in the pillar. He said, he stole the butter. I told him, you should not steal this butter. This is my mother's butter. She will be very upset with you. You should not do this, not in my house. But he wouldn't listen to me. And therefore I became very angry and I chastised him. But I'm not greedy for butter. I wouldn't steal your butter. On another day, Yashodamai was outside. And she came in. And she saw Krishna's hand right in the butter pot. And Gopal cried out, I'm not stealing butter, I'm not stealing butter. She said, then what are you doing? He said, you put bangles on my wrists, and the effulgence from the rubies on those bangles have caused so much heat that my hand is burning like fire. So I stuck my hand in the butter pot to relieve it from the firing pain. When Yashodamai heard this, she was so much impressed by her son's intelligence. She started to kiss Krishna's fingers. And she said, oh, Gopal, I will take off these ruby... bangles. Look, I can see your hand is actually burnt. Soon Gopal expanded his activities with Balaram to not only stealing the butter in Yashoda's house, but in the homes of the other Braj Gopis. One time, one of the Gopis, who happened to be Krishna's Auntie, captured Krishna. He tried to escape, but she caught him, as they say, red-handed, stealing the butter. He said, I didn't do it. Of course you did it. I saw you do it. Look at butter all over your hands. You did it. He said, I'm going to take you to Mother Yashoda. And Krishna said, I warn you. Do not take me to Mother Yashoda. Giving you a warning, do not take me to Mother Yashoda. So she just took Krishna right by the hand and right went to Nanda Yashoda's house and said to Yashodamai, I caught your Gopal stealing butter from my house. I caught him today. Here he is. Yashodamai looked and she said, that's not my son. The gopi looked. It was her own son. She was confused and totally embarrassed. So Yashodamai said, I think you should, just be more careful what your own son does and don't blame Krishna for the naughtiness of your own son. So she didn't know what to do. She just took her son and started walking home. And as they're walking down the road in a secluded place, the child in her hand said, I warned you. And she looked down, and it was Krishna. And Krishna said to her, if you ever tell on me again, then next time, I will take the form of your husband. And then you will be very much embarrassed. Actually, gopis would come to... It was their greatest joy, their greatest happiness, to complain about Krishna and Balaram. Because complaining was not like the complaining of this world. It was just an opportunity to speak about Krishna. And when devotees speak about Krishna, their hearts just fill with love for Krishna. Vrindavan is a place where everyone is speaking about Krishna. And it's always with love. So the gopis came in a group to Yashoda Mai. Do you know what your Krishna is doing? Every day he's stealing our butter. Now he's standing very like an innocent child. But we know what he's doing. In his mind, at this very moment, he's plotting. He's plotting systematically how to steal our butter. In the early morning, Krishna and his friends, they go into our goshala, the place where we keep our cows. Just before the milking time, they release all the calves. And the calves drink all the milk of the mothers. And when we come to milk them, we have to leave with empty buckets because there's nothing left. And then they enter into our house. And they will break the clay pots and eat our butter. And sometimes, just to guard against them, we keep the butter hanging from ropes from the ceiling rafters. And they will get on each other's shoulders or put grinding mortars and boxes and climb up. And if they still can't reach it, they will poke the bottom with sticks so the butter falls out. And then Krishna and Balaram will eat all the butter, then feed it to their friends. Then they will invite the neighboring monkeys. Prabhupada calls them the celebrated Vrindavan monkeys. And they will feed all the monkeys to their full satisfaction until the monkeys' bellies are so full they can't eat anymore. Then Krishna will take whatever remaining butter is in the pots and they will just start throwing the pots hither and thither and throwing the butter, saying, this butter is so useless, even the monkeys will not eat it. And sometimes when we run to catch Krishna, he will say, I'm not stealing your butter. Why should I steal butter? My mother in her home, she has the best butter in all of Braja. Why should I steal your butter? And other times when we come to catch them, they will fall at our feet very innocently and beg forgiveness. Don't tell on me, please. Let me go. Sometimes we hide butter in a very dark place. But they wear these jewels that seem to light up the darkness, and they always find our butter. Yashoda Mai said, then I will take off the jewels. They said, no, 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 don't take off the jewels. Please don't take off the jewels. These children are not ordinary. They seem to emanate an effulgence. If we hide the butter so well that they cannot find it, sometimes they will pinch our sleeping babies and make them cry. Other time, they will pass urine and spit on our floor. Now this is a very transcendental philosophical principle. I often ask this question to my audience. How many times, I want you to, just even for a moment, just think if you can calculate, how many times have you passed urine in your life? Does anyone have any estimation? The next question, does anybody care? Huh? Nobody cares. Even if the greatest rock and roll musician or the most highly paid movie star, nobody cares about whether they pass urine. Yes? Krishna passed urine once 5,000 years ago, and we're still in ecstasy talking about it. That is God. He's all attractive, and everything he does is all attractive. The gopis lodge so many nice complaints. But actually, the Braj gopis, they only milk their cows and only churn the yogurt into butter for one purpose, with the hope that they could put so much love and so much devotion into that offering that Krishna would come to their house to steal it. It was their life, that Hari would come to accept their love. Some people ask, why do you worship God if he's a thief? But actually, Krishna's not a thief. In Bhagavad Gita, he already proclaimed, Sarvaloka Maheshwaram. I am the proprietor of everything that exists in all planets, in all universes. He's the only proprietor of everything. So whatever he takes, it is his property. And Krishna says that he is death personified. In his form of death, he takes everything back from everyone. Whether you're a pauper, or whether you're a multi-billionaire, or whether you're a great heroic conqueror of the world, at the time of death, Krishna says, it's all mine, give it back. Yes? So do we want Krishna to take everything away at the time of death? It's not a very rasic experience at all. It's not a pleasurable spiritual experience, dying and having everything torn away from you. But if we offer everything to Krishna with love, he accepts it. That is our relationship as his eternal servant. Through the process of sadhana bhakti, we try to churn our hearts through hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord, through serving the devotees of the Lord. We're trying to churn and soften our hearts through the process of following the regulative principles of devotional service. And when our hearts become soft and sweet like butter, at that time only, Makhan Chor will steal our hearts. And that is the ultimate perfection of all of our aspirations in life. So when Yashoda Mai told gopis, I will keep Krishna. No, don't keep Krishna. It is our life. He comes to steal our butter. But look at him now. He looks so innocent, as if he has not done anything. And Yashoda Mai would want to chastise Gopal, but when she would see his face, which had false crocodile tears, her heart melted. She could not chastise him. During this great month of Kartik, on the day of Diwali, Deepavali, Yashoda Mai decided she would wake up very early in the morning and personally churn the yogurt into butter for Krishna's pleasure. Because she was thinking so many complaints that Gopal is stealing from the other houses of gopis, it means I'm not making good enough butter here. She went through such efforts to make Krishna happy. She grew special grass. Very, very extraordinary grass. This grass was called Padmaganda. It tasted very sweet. It would be very soft. It was fragrant. Nanda Maharaj's herd had 900,000 cows. And only about 7 or 8 of these cows were fed this Padmaganda grass. And they were called Padmaganda cows. Their milk was so fragrant, so sweet, so nectarine. And Yashoda Mai personally took care of those cows, personally grew their grasses, and then that morning she was going to personally churn their yogurt into butter for Krishna's satisfaction. Should I continue?
No!
Sukadeva Goswami gives a beautiful description of Yashoda Mai churning the yogurt. There was the clay pot. From the clay pot was a churning rod, and there's a rope connected to the churning rod, and she would pull it back and forth. She was wearing a very beautiful saffron yellow colored sari. As she was churning, she was singing very, very sweet songs about Krishna. Actually, in Vrindavan, whatever Krishna did, it was so attractive to the hearts of the Brijabasis that they would write poems about it and sing about it to keep their mind always with Krishna. Srila Prabhupada explains, this is bhakti, to always remember Krishna, to never forget Krishna. And beautiful songs and poems are very, very simple and attractive ways to fulfill this glorious ideal of remembering the Lord's pastimes, his names, his qualities. So Yashoda Mai was very, very beautifully singing in kirtan the names and glories of Lord Krishna as she was churning the butter. And the bangles on her wrists, they were making sweet instrumentation in time with the singing. And her earrings were dancing, as if dancing in kirtan on her ears. Her face was so beautiful, with raised eyebrows. And working so hard, she was perspiring. Her hair was decorated very, very gently with malati flowers. And these malati flowers sing the devotion of Yashoda Mai, sing her love for Gopal, hearing her singing with such devotion. They were thinking amongst themselves, what are we doing on her head? She's such a great devotee. We should be at her feet. So it appeared that due to her working so hard that the flowers were falling, but actually they were jumping to take shelter of her lotus feet. In this mood, she was so absorbed in the thought of Krishna that milk began to flow from her breast due to motherly love. When Krishna heard the chanting of his names, he became very hungry for that milk. This is a profound conception. How does the Lord become hungry? He's Atmaram. He's completely satisfied always, in and of himself. What does he need from something else? But the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in the highest conception, is hungry for the love of his devotees. So he got out of his bed and he ran to Yashoda Mai where she was churning and pulled her sari. She continued churning. Then he grabbed on to that churning rod as if he was forbidding her to do any more churning. He was the priority. He wanted to drink her milk. So she saw his charming face and picked him up and put him on her lap and began to feed him the milk. Meanwhile, on the stove, there was Padmaganda milk boiling to be made into a very sweet preparation for Krishna's satisfaction. And in the spiritual realm, everything is personal. There's nothing impersonal. Everything is conscious, full of love and devotion. So the milk was thinking that Gopal is drinking Yashoda's milk, and Yashoda's milk is the expression of her love, and her love is so deep, it is so great. There's no end to it. So she's going to supply him unlimited milk, and Krishna's going to drink it forever. And he'll never take us. He'll never accept our offering. So what is the use of our living if Krishna does not accept us? If we cannot serve, there's no use to life. So we should end our lives by jumping into the fire. And with this idea, the milk started boiling over into the fire. And Yashoda Mai saw, this is Krishna's Padmakanda milk. She put Krishna down and ran to save the milk. Gopal became angry. He bit his lip with his teeth. Acharyas explain, he wanted to teach, lips are red, teeth are white, that we must control the mode of passion with the mode of goodness. But Gopal decided to do naughty activity with the stone that was used for grinding spices. He broke the clay pot of yogurt. The yogurt started flowing on the floor. It was kind of half butter, half yogurt. Then he went into the next room. Yashoda Mai, she came running back to her Gopal, and she saw that the yogurt pot is broken, and Gopal is gone. Where could he be? So she knew the science of how to find Krishna. She began to follow his footprints, butter-covered footprints. It led her into the next room, and there she saw that little Krishna had turned over grinding mortar and was sitting on top of it and was putting his hand into the butter pot and eating and eating and eating. And then she saw how he called his friends and was feeding them. Then called the monkeys and was feeding the monkeys. As with a stick in hand, she very, very quietly approached Krishna from behind. And the crows were going, rah, 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 and going out the windows. And the gopas were already gone. And the monkeys, when they saw Yashoda Mai approaching, they started looking with their eyes very, very fearful. And Krishna looked behind him, and there was Yashoda with stick in hand. So Gopal jumped off from the grinding mortar, running in fear. Yashoda chased after him. Krishna ran, and Yashoda Mai ran right after him. As she was running, chasing Krishna, she was perspiring. Actually, it's very interesting. Srila Prabhupada explains, what are the higher realms of spiritual ecstasy? One of them is to always be in anxiety. Now, people with lower conceptions of spirituality, they have a hard time understanding this, because their perfection of life is peace. Yes, Om Shanti 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 Om. Peace, peace, peace. But Yashoda and Rohini, due to their motherly love, when Krishna and Balaram would be crawling around or playing, they were thinking, will they be scratched by the claws of the monkeys? Will they be pricked by the thorns of the forest? Will they be hurt by the horns of the cows and the bulls? Will they be injured by the teeth of the animals? Will they be bitten by insects? Will they perform naughty activities and harm themselves? Yashoda and Rohini were always in anxiety for Krishna. Now please listen very carefully. This is a very important principle. that the anxiety of love is millions of times more of an ecstatic feeling than peace of mind. Because peace is neutral. Peace means our sufferings are neutralized. Our anxieties are neutralized. But spiritual anxiety is an expression of an ecstatic feeling of service toward Krishna, of absorption in Krishna. Are you more absorbed when you're peaceful, or are you more absorbed when you're in anxiety? Well, please be honest. Which is a more absorbing experience for you, anxiety or just nice peace? Which one? The more we're absorbed in Krishna, the more we experience the infinite attractive presence of Krishna, and the more our love just erupts for Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada, he gave a very nice explanation. He said, in this material world, there's only one type of person that is not an anxiety. And that is a dead person. As long as you're in this world, you have to be in anxiety about something. Yes? The brahmacharis are anxieties about controlling their senses. And the business people are anxiety about their business. And the housewives are anxiety about their children. And the husbands are anxiety about their wives. And so many anxieties. Anxiety of taxes, anxiety of terrorism, anxiety of just whatever you do. The whole economy is really based on trying to somehow or other deal with people's anxieties. Yes? If nobody was in anxiety, there would be a terrible depression in this world. No one would buy anything. And we don't have to worry about that. Because even if there's a depression, everybody's in even more anxiety. That's the nature of this world. So Prabhupada said, if you have to be in anxiety for Krishna. Be in anxiety to serve Krishna, to love Krishna. To be faithful to Krishna. And that anxiety, because it absorbs us in Krishna, it purifies it cleanses our hearts and awakens our love for Krishna. So this world is called Kunta, and the spiritual world is Vaikunta. Kunta means a place of anxiety, and spiritual world means Vaikunta, place of no anxiety. That means no material, egoistic, selfish anxiety. But the highest realm of Vaikunta, Goloka. Gopis are in separation from Krishna. Yashoda and Rohini are wondering, where is Krishna? The gopas are playing with Krishna in the day, but when Krishna hides behind a tree, the gopas are in so much anxiety, they can't even tolerate living for those seconds that they can't see Krishna. And Prabhupada taught us that in devotional service, we should be eager and anxious and willing to accept even difficult anxieties in the service of the Lord. That is our love. And that is how we attain, that is how we express our love, and that is how we purify our heart and realize true love. So Yasoda Mai was chasing after Krishna for his welfare, because he was naughty and mother must help him, protect him. So as she was running, Krishna was running away. Now how could anyone catch Krishna? According to Srimad Bhagavatam, even the greatest yogis, even the greatest jnanis, they can never catch the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But Yashoda Mai was chasing. There were still some flowers left in her hair, Malati flowers and Malika flowers. And there were two classes of flowers who had two different realizations of this whole pastime. Would you like to hear this detail? Yeah. Are you all still awake? Then I will continue. One group of flowers were on Krishna's side. Yashoda Maya is going to catch Krishna. She may punish Krishna. We cannot tolerate this. We don't want to be a part of it. If we're on her hair, that means we're part of the conspiracy of catching Krishna. So they did not want to be conspirators, so they jumped off onto the floor. It appeared that they were falling off because she was running. And the other group of flowers were on Yashoda's side. That Yashoda's love for Krishna is so great. She wants to protect Krishna. And somehow or other, she can't catch him. Maybe because of our weight, we're creating a burden. And if we jump off, then she could run faster. And in this spirit, they jumped off. And ultimately, that personality who cannot be caught by anything or anyone of this world, the Supreme Absolute Truth, who's faster than the fastest. In fact, the Upanishads describe that the Supreme Personality of Godhead travels millions of times faster than the speed of mind. Who can catch Krishna? The answer is Yashoda Mai. Because of her love, because of her devotion, she is able to catch Krishna. Krishna, it describes in Brahma Samhita that he has hundreds and thousands of goddesses of fortune. So why does he need to steal butter? Simply to give pleasure to his devotees. Yashoda Mai caught Krishna. By Krishna's own sweet will, he was captured. She was holding him by the hand, and Gopal was trembling in fear. His lips, which were red like the bimba fruit, were trembling. Tears, false tears, were flowing from his eyes, mixed with the mascara, kajal, and turned black, and was actually decorating his whole body. This beautiful sight of the Supreme Personality of Godhead crying and trembling in fear of his mother was actually the meditation of Queen Kunti. She chanted a beautiful verse in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Krishna is feared by fear personified, and yet he is afraid of his mother, who's just an ordinary gopi. In Kurukshetra, Krishna manifested a mere expansion of an expansion of an expansion of himself as Virat Rupa, universal form. There was thousands of heads and thousands of arms, and thousands of living beings were just being devoured by these heads. Yes? Time I am. Arjuna, the most powerful, fearless warrior on earth, was trembling in reverence. Ultimately, he prayed to Krishna, please take away this form. I can't look at it any longer. Just show me the form I know. Krishna said, I'm time, I am. Krishna's death personified. How many people in this world are afraid of death? Every living entity is afraid of death. And that's just the manifestation of Krishna. And yet Krishna is afraid of Yashoda Mai. Even Yamaraj fears Krishna. In sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, we read where Yamaraj tells Yamadutas that do not ever, ever, ever even consider thinking about approaching those who chant the names of Lord Narayan. Because if you do anything to disturb them, Lord Narayan with the club in his hand will punish us. Hare Krishna. Everyone is afraid of Yamaraj, but Yamaraj is afraid of Krishna, and Krishna is afraid of Yashoda. This is Queen Kunti's prayer. What does that mean? The Lord is conquered by the love of his devotee. It is the Lord's pastime that he puts himself subordinate to the pure, unconditional, unalloyed love of his devotee by his own sweet will. Gopal began to confess, pleading for mercy. I did it, I did it, I stole the butter. Please don't punish, please put down your stick. When you go to the courts, if you're guilty and plead innocent, you're going to get a very serious penalty. But if you're guilty and admit that you're guilty and plead for mercy, you may get a reduced sentence. Yes? That's the way courtrooms work, from my understanding. So Krishna was pleading for mercy. I did it, I did it. Please don't harm me. So Yashoda Mai saw how Krishna was so much crying in fear that she threw her stick away. She just showed it to him to discipline him. Just showed it to him. She could never touch him with it. She had so many household activities to perform that day for Krishna. And she was thinking that now that Krishna's so afraid, if I leave him alone, he may run away from home. He may run outside of the house, and then there's so many dangers that he may be disturbed by. So for his own protection, she decided to tie him to the wooden grinding mortar. The same one he used to steal the butter. So she took a piece of rope, the rope that was used to tie the rear legs of cows during the milking. And this rope was also used to tie the calves to keep them away from the cows during milking. So Krishna was like her own little calf that she was going to tie up. And she took nice silk rope and wrapped it around the grinding mortar and then wrapped it around the small little waistline of Gopal. But it was the width of 2 fingers too short. Shall I share with you a personal story about these ropes that tie cows' legs?
Yes. Yes.
I will tell it again. In the early 1970s, for some time I was given the service of milking cows at New Brindavan Community. Actually, for about 7 years I was milking cows, while Dayananda Prabhu was opening centers all over the world and preaching to scholars and heads of states and ordinary people. I was just in his old barn milking some cows. Therefore, I always honor and worship his feet as my senior godbrother. Thank you, Dayananda Prabhu. In fact, even before I was milking cows, I was washing his pots. Yes. On my way back from India, I stopped at 7 Berry Place near